Father God, we are so grateful once again to be with happy people in your house. We thank you, Jesus, for the sunshine and for even the rain that we had this week. We are so grateful again, God, that we have strength and health and vitality, and ask that as we look at your word today, we can gain more understanding, more insight in how you have promised things, and you always keep your promises, Lord. Help us to rest in the truth of your word. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're in verses 2 and 3 today. I know I spent a long time with the section on husbands, but it wasn't really talking about husbands, was it? It was kind of talking about Christ and the church. We're in a section on children now, and these two verses talk about a commandment with promise, and I find that intriguing, and I'm going to take some weird turns with how I meditated on this week. The text is Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. We're on page 1789 in the Pew Bible. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Pretty straightforward there. Now, a commandment with a promise. It says this is the first commandment with a promise. Are there other commandments with a promise? How many of us think that there's commandments with promises? It's kind of, there's general promises in Scripture, and I'm going to try to cover a little bit of that. I want to emphasize that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's nothing to do with our works. It's nothing to do with our obedience, and yet we are asked to obey, to trust and to obey. And when we look at some of the text that I'm going to be turning to today, you'll see that there's reward in obedience. There's great reward in obedience, but it doesn't ever bring us salvation. I don't want anyone to start thinking it's like, okay, we have to be really good so we can be saved. Because sometimes when we're reading through Scripture, if we take it out of context, it almost sounds like, oh, God really loves us when we're obedient. God really loves us when we do everything right. Well, He loves us anyway. He loves us even more in some ways as we choose to follow and obey Him. It's like parents. You love your kids even when they're being disrespectful, rude, disobedient, whatever they choose to do, or when they're disappointing by making bad decisions and we can't fix it and we can't make it better and we can't protect them from making the same mistakes that we made when we were younger. But we're disappointed, but we still love them. But I think we even love the whole process of seeing wise decisions, understanding, wisdom, obedience, all of those things when there's actual following of the teachings that have taken place in the household. It's even better. And I think we're more prone to want to reward children as they do the right thing. And God is pretty clear in Scripture that He wants us to obey Him. Now this is, when it says it's the first commandment with a promise, there's even some argument about whether that's true or not, because it seemed like some of the other Ten Commandments that came before this one also had some attached promises to them. And so I'm not sure exactly how to think of that. If you think about being a child, kind of one of the most important things for a kid is obey your parents, because it's right. Obey your parents in everything, because it's pleasing to the Lord. Obey your parents. It's a good thing to do. Honor your father, honor your mother. And that's certainly the first most important. It's a prime commandment for children. And I think for us as well. We talked last week about how we as children of God are to honor God, to hallow His name, to lift Him up, to respect enough, love enough to obey. And that's really where this is coming from. Honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And that is kind of a nice promise that you can enjoy long life. Now, back in Deuteronomy and whatnot, when this command was told, it's so that you can live long and well in this land that the God had promised them. So going into the land, we get to think of this as we can live long on earth, but also the eternal life by honoring. We're still in this section that's talking about submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And one way that we submit to one another is honoring parents. How do children submit to their parents? So they honor their father. They honor their mother. So when there's conversations, are we putting our parents down or are we lifting them up? And even I've got, you know, had four brothers, four sisters, a lot of foster kids in the household. Sometimes we would have little sidebars as children and find ways to ridicule parents. That's not honoring. Even as adults, sometimes we'll get together and there's different memories of how were we raised. Some of my siblings think that my parents were harsh. I think they were loving. We have different perspectives. Were they harsh with me? Yeah. But did I deserve it most of the time? And when I didn't, I probably had gotten away with a few that, you know, every once in a while Dad would say, I don't know, maybe you didn't do it this time, but this is to make up for the last one. So we just have to honor our parents. They did the very best that they could. And sometimes honor means forgiving one another out of reverence for Christ, submitting to their authority, submitting to their leadership, and knowing that we make mistakes too. And I don't think any of us want to be judged for the worst moment or the worst day that we've ever had. So honor your father, honor your mother, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy life, long life on the earth. It's the first commandment with a promise. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn to Leviticus. How many of you spend a lot of time in Leviticus? It's Old Testament book. Remember way back when Moses had these early books written, right? Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Leviticus is mostly a lot of law type things written to the Levites. But it applies to us as well. It was for everyone. And this, I'm actually going to go clear through chapter 26. So Leviticus chapter 26 is on page 192 in your Pew Bible. And there's, as you look through the chapter, it's a relatively long chapter. There's 46 verses. The first 13 of them are under a title, Reward for Obedience. The way that the NIV has put this group of verses together, they say there's reward for obedience. And that's kind of what I'd like to emphasize. And yet I don't want to de-emphasize the other side of this coin. Because there's also disobedience. And what do we do with disobedience? There's actually punishment for disobedience. And these were God's chosen people. And as followers of Jesus, as believers, as Christians, there still will be correction for us when we're disobedient to God's commands. And so we don't want to just ignore that part and say, well, God's a loving God and He doesn't care what we do. He does care what we do. God is a loving God, and because He's a loving God, He cares about what we do and how we treat Him and how we are inclined to follow Him or not follow Him. And so I'm going to spend a little time here in this passage. Do not make idols or set up an image or a sacred stone for yourselves, or do not place a carved stone in your land to bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. The contrast there. Nothing else should come before God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, and here's kind of where the promise, the reward comes. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. That's kind of important. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, And the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Kind of sounds like a nice reward for obedience, doesn't it? Is you do what you're told, and things are going to go well for you here. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. Isn't that nice, to not be afraid? I will remove wild beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And there's a lot of stories as you look through the history of Israel as they worked through different things. God was with them when they were obedient. He was all right there for them. And then they'd turn away from him, and then they would repent and come back. And you look at the book of Judges, you get that cycle. If you look through the different Kings and Chronicles, all the stories that show God is true to his word. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. How many of us that are so blessed that it's like you go to the grocery store and you buy everything that you think you need, and you get home and there's not room to put it away because you already had too much stuff. And you kind of have to cycle some things through. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty blessed most of the time. If you look at what's going on with Skykomish Food Harvest, there's always extra. And there's an abundance. And I think right now there's a blessing going through that organization. And I'm looking at congregation here. Quite a few of you are instrumental in what's going on at Skykomish Food Harvest. Out of obedience to God, you've seen a need, you've stepped up, and you're following what you think is obedience to God to drive, to set up, to help with people coming through, and making sure that that's working smoothly. And it's kind of frustrating, I think, sometimes on Thursdays when you show up and it's like you got all this great new food and you go to the freezer and it's full already, and there's nowhere to put the stuff. And that's kind of what's being described here, that God's talking about. There's reward for obedience. That as you're being obedient, things are going to continue to work this way. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Now, none of us were slaves in Egypt, but we did get released by God from bondage to sin. And so when you think about, okay, I could be a slave to sin, or I get to serve Jesus. If I'm a slave to sin, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. If I serve Jesus, he's promising rewards. Things will work well. There is a contrast here, though. Punishment for disobedience. Starting in verse 14. Still on page 192 in the Pew Bible. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all of my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. Now, by the way, he says he's going to keep his covenant. And throughout Scripture, God is the one who keeps covenant. Who is it that breaks covenant? Us as humans. Then I will do this to you. I will bring on you sudden terror, wasting diseases and fever that will destroy your sight and sap your strength. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even when no one is pursuing you. If after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins 7 times over. In Hebrew, that was kind of just a way to say it's going to be a lot. I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, nor will the trees of your land yield their fruit. If you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your affliction seven times over as your sins deserve. I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted. If in spite of these things you do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile toward you and will afflict you for your sins seven times over. And I will bring the sword on you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemy hands. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven, and they will dole out the bread by weight. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. None of that sounds very pleasant, does it? You notice, so each time he keeps breaking in, it's like, if you continue to disobey, if you continue. There's an implication there, and he gets pretty direct with it later, that if we confess and turn back to him, he's ready to forgive everything. He's ready to put it all right. He's not breaking his covenant. We're breaking covenant with him. If in spite of this you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger I will be hostile toward you, and I myself will punish you for your sins seven times over. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols, and I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins and lay waste your sanctuaries, and I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. Doesn't matter how religious you want to be with me, if you keep on disobeying and being hostile towards me, I myself will lay waste the land so that your enemies who live there will be appalled. I will scatter you among the nations and will draw out my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate, and you are in the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths all the time that it lies desolate. The land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbaths you lived in it. There was supposed to be a resting of the land every 7 years, and that didn't always happen. Some people thought, no, I can't trust that God will take care of me if I follow his commands, and so I've got to do it my way. And they kept on thinking that they had to do it their own way. And how often do we fall into that pattern? And God was just going to give them opportunity to make everything right. Actually, when they were in captivity for 70 years, that gave the land a chance to rest and to heal itself. As for those of you who are left, I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though fleeing from the sword, and they will fall even though no one is pursuing them. They will stumble over one another as though fleeing from the sword, even though no one is pursuing them. So you will not be able to stand before your enemies. You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who are left will waste away in the lands of their enemies because of their sins. Also because of their ancestors' sins, they will waste away. Now here's an interesting thought. You know, a lot of what's going on in our cities right now is people are angry and they're going around and looting and burning stuff and whatever, and I don't condone that in any way. But I look at some of what's happening is some of why they're angry is the sins of our predecessors. When this nation was set up, all men are created equal, right? And that means men that own property and are white. All men are created equal. And that's kind of how the forefathers, many of them, not all of them, but many of them kind of saw it that way. And as time has gone on, there's been some corrections to that, where we're trying to make all people equal. Women get to vote now. If you didn't, you've got two more days. Color of your skin shouldn't matter with whether or not you're considered a person. And there's some things that took place. Now, one thing I'm seeing maybe a little overboard, it's like, okay, with my parents, did they make mistakes? Yeah. But do I need to judge them for it? No, I can trust that God deals with all things. If we've got statues and graven images basically up all over the place, and if people are kind of worshiping the culture of those times when we were not doing what we should have been doing as a nation, we've accepted the sins of our ancestors. We've brought that onto ourselves through our attitudes towards honoring the wrong way, the wrong things. And so as we go forward, I think we always need to be looking to the future, looking forward. How do we honor one another? How do we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? How do we love equally our neighbor and our enemy? We need Jesus so badly. This is not something we can do in our own strength. Here's the part that's exciting to me. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors. You know what? It's okay to confess the sins of your ancestors. We don't have to pretend that everything that our nation has done has been perfect. We can recognize that some of the things were not correct and confess that. Their unfaithfulness and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them so that I sent them into the land of their enemies. If we confess that, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin, I will remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land will be deserted by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will pay for their sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord your God. But for their sake I will remember the covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of Egypt, in the sight of the nations to be their God. I am the Lord. These are the decrees, the laws, the regulations that the Lord established at Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. That whole chapter there, it's kind of interesting that so much time was spent on what about if you disobey? Because I think God knows our hearts and that we have a tendency to go in that direction. Obedience brings rewards. Disobedience brings correction and punishment. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, and I'm not going to give you page numbers as I kind of go through the next few a little quicker. Rewards for keeping commands is still where I'm at. It's like Psalm 19 is beautiful, and I recommend it to anyone if you just want a fun psalm to meditate on. It's a good one, start to finish. In the middle of it, there's this section about the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. You know, if we read God's word, it refreshes our soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. If you want to be smart and wise and have understanding, pay attention to God's laws, his commands, his statutes. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Now, it's talking all about the Word of God. It's more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Those commands, they are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there's great reward. Scripture gives us warnings. If we heed those warnings, there's great reward. Following the commands, honoring the decrees, we have great reward. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do you believe that God wants to reward you? Earnestly seek Him and He rewards you. Now, if you don't believe in God, you won't turn to Him in the first place. We all know people like that. They just can't find in their heart to believe that there is a God. I think part of what we are set here on earth to do is to show what God has done in us and through us. But if you have a belief in God, then you can turn to Him. And as you turn to Him, don't just say, okay, yeah, thanks, I'm glad there's a God, I turn to Him, and not know what to do. It's like, okay, some people turn to God out of fear. Have you ever heard people talk about they're afraid to step into a church because they think that the building might fall down on them? I've heard a few people say that. Have you heard people kind of just, their relationship with God is he's like a mean father that's got a big stick and wants to punish them and catch them at all the things they're doing wrong. That's not the Father that we know. We know a Father that's loving, a Father that's caring. And He wants to reward us as we earnestly seek Him. We don't seek Him out of fear necessarily. Now, there's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's start there. Yes, okay. Yeah, He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is the maker of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. If we don't have a certain awe and respect and fear of who He is, and we start thinking that somehow we can control God, you know, let's rub the genie of prayer and get the it's just, no. He wants to reward those that earnestly seek Him. In Psalm 62, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Quotation here. Power belongs to You, God, and with You, Lord, is unfailing love. So power and unfailing love belongs to God. That's the first thing. The second thing He's heard, You reward everyone according to what they have done. There's a lot of this type of scripture throughout the Bible. It's what nations do to other nations is going to come back on them. How we treat others is how we're going to be treated. Of course, we want to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, but also, as you do unto others, it's going to be done to you. If you treat people with love and encouragement, a lot of that's going to come back to you. If you treat people with contempt and haughtiness, a lot of that's going to come back to you. You reward everyone according to what they have done. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. There's reward for following the commands of God. Again, in Proverbs 13, verse 21, trouble pursues the sinner. You know, if you're a bad dude, you're going to have to be looking over your shoulder all the time. There's trouble coming. But the righteous are rewarded with good things, like a good night's sleep, good relationships, friends that watch out for you and check on when your lights are left on, and things like that. It's all good. I mean, those little things, we can kind of think, yeah, that's kind of funny, but no, that's the important pieces of life. Do we love each other enough to care? The faithless, Proverbs 14:14, the faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good rewarded for theirs. Everyone's going to be rewarded according to their deeds. Now, if your deeds are good or faithless, there's going to be a contrast on what your reward is. In Proverbs 25, if your enemy is hungry, verse 21, give him food to eat If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. Again, I'm not going to ever tell anybody that salvation comes from good deeds, salvation comes from good works. That's not true. Salvation comes from faith. But reward can come from good deeds. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, there's an assumption that righteous people are going to be given to the needy, okay? When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. What's your motivation? God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. So when we're doing good deeds even, there's got to be some caution there. It's like, why are you doing it? What's behind the reasoning? What are you motivated by? You want others to see this and honor you? Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now there's a command and a reward, right? You're commanded to forgive others, just like the Father forgives, and he'll forgive you too. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Looking at the motivation for why we do what we do, even good, positive religious acts can be done for the wrong reasons. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. This is Jesus speaking again, by the way. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Just be nice to people. Honor them for who they are. Chapter 16, verse 24 of Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. We're back in Ephesians, a little bit further along in chapter 6, past the section that's talking about children and parents. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Everything we do should be done fully, wholeheartedly for the Lord. When you're digging out a fence post and you realize that that concrete's going down deeper and deeper and it's heavier and heavier, you do that for the Lord. How's your back? Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there's no favoritism. God doesn't say, well, I kind of like redheads, and so they get an extra pass. No, us redheads, I used to be one. No special favoritism. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Now your confidence needs to be in Jesus. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You just got to trust that as we continue in Christ, he will fulfill his promises to us. Almost the very end of the Bible, we get to Revelation 22 and verse 12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. So in today's text, honoring your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, what I'm seeing is that there's kind of a general promise for all of the commands. As we follow Christ, as we follow the commandments of God, as we recognize that he's the master of all things, and we turn to him and we humble ourselves and commit to him, submit to him, there's great promise of reward. And I think that's kind of important. Yeah, of course, honor your father and mother so that you may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That's a good commandment. But all of the commandments really fall into that category of love. If we love like Jesus told us to love, loving our neighbor, whether our neighbor is a friend or an enemy, loving God with our whole heart, as we follow those commands, our relationship with God stays stable, and there will be great reward.